All right, hey y'all, and welcome to another episode of Empowered AF with me, Joe Thomas. Today we have Miss Sheila Hurd here, all the way from Mississippi. How are you doing today?
Fine, how are you?
I am good. I had someone reach out to me and share your story with me, and instantly I knew I had to have you on because there are so many twists and turns in your story, yet so much just perseverance and the love of a mother, and also the heartbreak of a mother. And so I am going to have you just share your story. And I think all of you who are listening are going to be in for a really, really, really good treat. So go ahead, Ms. Sheila, and tell us a little bit about what brought you here and just get us going on your story.
Well, what I have been going through with my children, I have discovered there are a lot of other people that are going through the same thing. And so that's why, I was already going to school anyway. But anyway, let me start from the beginning. It all started when my daughter was complaining about her eyesight because I was on active duty at the time. And I said, well, just go to the eye doctor. And she went to the eye doctor. Well, we had came home first and she went to the eye doctor and they just gave her some eyeglasses. So
Right.
we went back to my duty station. I said, well, go to another doctor here. And he said, no, it's a problem. And she had to go see a neurologist. And that's when we found out. He said, not only is she losing her eyesight, but she was going to start losing mobility in her arms and legs. And it seems like 2 months after that, I had came in and she couldn't do nothing but turn her head left and right. That's all she could do.
Oh, my gosh.
And then a year after that, my son. It was like I was in a drunk sleep. And I just saw him just sitting there and he was looking kind of peculiar to me. And I'm like, what's wrong with him? But I just went on back to sleep and I woke up the next morning, my car was gone. He had took all my money out my purse. And that wasn't normally like him. So I
Right.
had to come on my unit and tell them I wasn't gonna be in. And he came home, called the police, and they weren't no help at all. But he finally came home because he was running out of money. I was so thankful that the Lord put it on him to at least come home because he was running out of money. Then he's gonna try to think, I'm gonna get my credit card and go back. I said, no, you go and get in the car. So we came back to my hometown, and that's when I took him to behavioral health, and that's when they diagnosed him with paranoid schizophrenia.
Wow. And how old was he at this point?
He was 19 too. He
19.
was 19 when he got diagnosed, and my daughter was 19 when she got
Oh
diagnosed.
my gosh.
Yeah. And so then a year after that, I had a pickup order done on my son, but they didn't pick him up. And him and my son had got into a little confrontation. The gun went off and my oldest son died. So I had a son, went to the morgue in one night, and then my other son went to jail all in the same night.
I can't even imagine as a mother the emotions that you were
Yeah.
going through at that point. And then was, I mean, you're still taking care of your daughter at this point too, I assume then too.
Yeah.
Walk us, just kind of walk us through that because I know there's someone out here listening that maybe the story is not the exact same, but the pain, the loss. I mean, that is so many emotions wrapped up in one evening.
Yeah, then when my son had went to jail and they had charged him with murder the next day. The next day they had charged him with murder. And but no, I can remember looking up at the sky that night, and I was thinking to myself, you know what? I said, and the sun was coming up, and I said, you know what? I want to rise with the sun because I'm a very spiritual person. And God had already showed me a year and a half that moment, but I didn't know how it was going to happen because before my son had died during that time, he was in a very bad car accident the month before. And that just kind of stayed on my mind, but it didn't dawn on me about what God had showed me about a year and a half ago. So I said, he was with the only one that loved him more than I did. So, literally, it's because of the foundation that I had already built is really what got me through those times. Because other than that, I don't believe I probably would have. Because
Right.
at one point in time, my daughter was suicidal. Then at one point in time, my son was suicidal. You know, so I had to become the person who I needed to be at the time for them. Because at the time when it happened, because see, my son had died, daughter was at my house. I wasn't there when it happened, but she was there at the house, and she wouldn't be like 4 or 5 years old.
Oh my.
And so, you know, then my daughter had started crying. So, you know, I had to be strong for them, you know, because God had my back. He had
Right.
my back. And the worst part about it is, you know, people was telling me, you need to join a support group. And I tried to find a support group where I lived at, and there wasn't one. I even called NAMI, and he told me, he said, I see what you're saying, because they didn't have, it wasn't nothing in my area. Nothing.
Wow. Now, do you feel like you struggled even with your son who was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia, like getting him the help and treatment he needed in your area also?
Oh yes, most definitely. Because when he they let when they let him out of jail, because he wasn't indicted, they didn't indict him, and they let him out. I'm like,
Wow.
you could have called me before you let him out, because the chief had called me and told me, asked me, said, did you know they was letting him out today? I said, no, I didn't know nothing. So I was on my way over there to see what was going on, and I met him on the
Oh
road with
my
this big old bag,
gosh.
and he jumping through the window. I'm like, where was you going? He said, I don't know. And they let him go like that. They really did. They let him go like that. But it's a struggle, and it's still a struggle, because like sometimes right now, I had a hard time take him over there to get his medicine. They may not have his medicine in. I have to bring him back to get his.
Yeah.
It's a mess. So that's, you know, I had to do something to be able to combat those times, those in between times, until I can find something that can replace that. But some can be without it, and some can't. It just all depends. So that's why I chose the holistic route. That's why, because I'm a functional nutritionist. I do breath work, meditation. I'm working on my doctorate in natural integrative medicine now.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah, because it's my goal to just have a whole wellness, a health and wellness center, you know, where you can get the counseling and all that. Just get everything you need in one place.
Yeah.
So that's
Well,
what the
because I
integration is
mean,
about, all different modalities. Yeah, because you don't know what somebody may need at that particular time. And I want to be able to help them, or send them to help. Yeah.
And, you know, I know just from, so my background is in psychology and social work. And so one of the things I did was I worked with dual diagnosed patients. And so I worked with a lot of people who had paranoid schizophrenia. And it's just such a misunderstood population to begin with. And so then you add in the lack of support, the lack of therapy, the lack of training from the police who just look at somebody and just deem them as crazy or whatever they want to say that day. And then you're just continued to just deal with it. And so did they just release him from jail and then went right back into your care and you've been caring for him since?
It's just, see, that's just the point. I had to call them to see, did he have to do anything else? Girl, they were acting like I was speaking a foreign language.
That is so wild to me. They just
And
released him and then it was just like, good luck after what just happened, the grief, I'm sure the fear.
they told me he didn't have no appointments. He don't have a felony, but he had got a job, and he was doing good on the job. But he got fired because it was on his record.
It's
And that's
so
one
unfortunate
of the
that instead of taking that opportunity to get him the help he needed, that once again, our mental health system, and I use that with quotation marks, failed
Yeah, trust
somebody.
me, I know.
They
And
failed him
that's
and they failed you and everyone in your space.
Because even at the hospital, he went there one time. It was a security guard. He just got frustrated with him. I said, you don't need this type of job.
Right.
But it was one police officer one time that had came to the house, and he was good. He was good. He got him to go to the hospital to take his shot one time. See, all of them need to be like that. He was good. He got him to go over there, and he went over there, took his shot, and came up back to the house. Because when they mess up and they screw up, they forget Okay, he can't wait for you to
Right.
get your to get done what you done messed up. He need his shot now. So I had to take him to the hospital to get his shot. And I had to do that a couple of times. Even I had moved to Maryland one time and they had messed up his shot. They had messed it up so bad, so we just gonna come on back to Mississippi.
Right. You know, I
I
think
mean,
that
it's
goes to speak too, though, like one thing I really wish we could do more is give more training to police officers. You know, I think people misunderstand sometimes when we talk about, you know, reallocating funding and things is not to take away from the police, but to train them because I mean, mental health is something that a lot of us go to school for years. And they put these police officers through a day or two of mental health training. And then that's, you know, they're expected to know what to do. And then a lot of times they don't. So it just comes right back on to the parents or the person who's caring for them.
I had to. I had started volunteering at the state hospital where I live at. That's just, so I could be able to, pay attention to his behavior and know how to combat that on my own. So that's the time I said we have to become our own advocates. We do. We have to pay attention to each other and be able to help each other out because we can't depend on even the professionals to do that. Because one time I had called them because he was suicidal. No, they never did even call me back. They never did even call me back. So I said, okay, and I see what I'm gonna have to do. Because when my son, when he was recluse, and I just had to pray and put him in God's hand that God would bring him back. And
All you
I
can
went to
do.
sleep. I put it in God's hand. And every time he brought him back, but I have to do that every single time. But he's not like that now. But when he was recluse, I had to do it because I listened to some people when they were saying they don't even know where their loved one is. And I know that's hard. Because I got a cousin who was schizophrenia, and we don't know where she is, and she's been missing for years.
And it's really unfortunate because the amount of missing people, and even when you dig into, you know, the homeless population and the different populations that are continuously ignored, a lot of it stems back to mental health and just this lack of understanding, this lack of financial support for it, this lack of just education around it. So, like, I know that you have kind of gone a more holistic route. So, I would love to know one, how you navigated emotionally, I think, as he came back and you're now grieving the loss of one son while simultaneously loving and I'm sure still having emotions with the other one and kind of that process. And then how you did turn to this more like holistic approach.
Well, see, when my son that died, he really seemed like to me he kind of understood him, because I remember one time I was trying to get him to sign himself in, and the only person who could get him to sign up was my son that had died, because I would tell people if he was alive and he was here today, he would tell you to leave him alone. He would tell you to leave him alone. 'Cause see, I understand where he's at, and he still battles with it. He still don't talk about it, and he's still thinking it's his fault. But it is, and then it's not. But I try to get him to understand and see that. But as I was working with them, and I even had to for myself, I had to do self care for myself because I had to keep myself strong so to be able to be there for them. Because I can't get mixed up in what they're going through, and now I can't be of help to them. Okay, I was at a conference and I was talking with a doctor, and she was said she was on the cutting edge of what my daughter had, which was neuromyelitis optica. And she said a lot of it was going to come down to what it is that they eat. And it's not so much as only just what they eat, but what's in your environment. Because I can remember when she was a young child, she had traces of lead in her. And see, over time, that stuff affects your body. And I'm finding that, I don't care what type of illness you have, it's going to end up coming back to the gut in some kind of form or fashion. So that's one of the reasons why I chose to really to dive into gut health.
You know, and it's interesting because I even have this conversation with people with like young children who are seem a really hyper or seem like they can't focus. And I'm like, are you watching what you're putting in their body? Are you watching the red dyes? Are you watching the high fructose corn syrup? Because I don't think people, especially here in America, understand that you literally are what you put into your body.
Yes, you are what your body can absorb.
Yes.
Yes, because I tell you, sugar is the main culprit. Because it's sugar is in a lot of things. That's why they say don't eat white flour. Don't do white flour because it has a lot of sugar in it. And that's really not good for your body.
Wow. So have you seen any correlation, like even, changing up your diet and all these things? Like, have you been able to implement that more, like with your son or your daughter or anything? Have you seen any changes with that? Because sometimes I wonder too, like my husband, he has bipolar and depression, and we talk about our mental health like a lot, and we maintain like what he puts in his body. Does he get enough sleep? Is he getting the right vitamins? There's a lot of things that are lacking that can, although it doesn't cure what he has, it's not, there's no cure. It's a chemical imbalance, but it does affect his moods. It does stabilize
Yeah,
him just by
what
those
you're
things.
doing, yeah. See, what you're doing, you feeding the cells. You feed your body what it needs, it will thrive. Because see, when your body is depleted of those nutrients, it's those cells that's suffering. It's just like putting money into the bank and you want to draw something out, but you can't because you're putting too much stuff in there. When you draw, you don't have anything to draw out because now it's all depleted because it's not doing the job that it's supposed to do because you keep putting all this junk in here.
Oh my gosh. So just tell us a little more, like what does life look like now? Like what all, I know you're kind of working on getting your doctorate. Kind of fill us in on where you're going with all this. Like what, you guys have continued to navigate through and how you're making a change. Because I know when the email came through, that was one of the things, is how you're taking your story and through the tragedy and through all of it. It's like, it's amazing to talk to you and see how you're still wanting to go out there and change. And I think something you said that really stuck out to me was even how it affects him, and I is have you been able to find any space for him and or yourself for grieving? Because I think he probably gets lost in that, because people look at him as like, you did this, but like, it's like, it blew my mind when you said that. You're like, I keep reminding him like that was not you. And that's just, that was so powerful when you said that. So kind of talk to us like what life has been like now. How have you been able to make strides? What have you been able to do to find that support for him and for yourself?
Well, for me, for myself, I have my moments, but
Yeah.
when I have my moments, I know what to do. I go to God. And I cry, I do what I need to do. And before that day is over, I'm good until the next time. But see, I get into a place, I know he's not here and I know he's not coming back. That's a part, he was a part of me. And I know that part that I'm missing is not going to be filled. So I just deal with, I know he's not going to be here. And I just have to allow God to come in and just to fill that void. I mean, that's just what I do. Like I said, 'cause I'm very spiritual.
Yeah.
I'm very spiritual because, everything happens for a reason. 'Cause, there is what I always say, there is no challenge that fails to have a solution. And I just refuse to just look at the negativity. You can turn any negative into a positive.
Right.
And that's my main goal. I'm just not going to rest there. Now, as far as my son, I just had to keep talking to him. I just had to keep talking to him to try to get him involved in something that he likes. And I noticed that when he's doing something that he likes, he don't be doing that pacing and walking and talking to himself all the time.
Yeah.
So I just got to keep him involved in something because he don't like to go out. He used to be a people person, and now he's so recluse, it's hard to get him to go out the house. Because like my oldest daughter's, we was trying to get him to go down there to visit. He finally went one day, but he didn't stay long. He was ready to come back home because he don't like to be around people because he said, don't nobody want to fool with me because because of the incident that happened. I said, well, you can't worry about people. That's one of the things I try to get him to see. You can't worry about people. Get them their own circle of friends so they can have a support system for themselves. They can not call it therapy because I know they're tired of therapy.
Right,
No,
yeah.
they get in therapy. They don't realize they're getting therapy though. So that's what I'm working on for them and you know, for the loved ones. And a lot of them be saying, you know, they're gonna give up. I said, well, are you willing to deal with that when you give up? Because more than likely they probably won't be here too much longer.
See, oh, I think that's such a good point to bring up though, because I know just from being in the mental health world, like people don't talk enough about how mentally exhausting it is caring for somebody with a mental illness. And I think, and I wonder if you feel this because I've seen it. Do you bounce ever between kind of feeling that guilt of like maybe feeling like you have to just, give it up to God, or you have to, exhaustion with also when is enough enough? Like, when are boundaries? Like, have you ever had to have kind of that discussion? Because I think there are some people out there probably listening that are like, okay, but what do I do when nothing is working? Where
Yeah.
do you draw the line for boundaries, and kind of walk
Well,
us maybe through that.
I have had to call the police on my son. He locked me out of my house once.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yep.
But you know, I understand where he's at. So that's why I try to do it. I have to understand, you know, I understand where he's at.
Yeah.
And I understand too that he's not as bad as some people are. I mean, you have to assess your situation for what's best for you, because for some it may be a dangerous situation. And you know, and I would say you got to do what's necessary. I mean, if you got to have them, if you got to lie to have them picked up to go get the help they need, do that, because I have had to do that before too.
And you know what? I love that you share that part though, because I think too, what a lot of people have a hard time understanding is when you don't have a loved one that maybe has mental illness, is you can love the person and not also love the illness, And I
Yeah.
think it seems like you're able to separate that a little bit, to like you see him for who he truly is. And it's almost like, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're able to look at this situation and the tragedy you went through and know that that was the schizophrenia. That was not
Yeah.
your son.
Yeah, because the person that he was before, like I said, he was a people person. He never did get in trouble, none of that. And you know, when he got this illness, I can see him being recluse. He don't do the things he used to love to do no more. I mean, I can see the difference, and I understand what the illness does to him, because like I said, because I have educated myself, I have volunteered at the state hospital, I understand about the illness.
I think
And that
that
makes
is
up.
a huge point though that some people may miss, is educating yourself on the illness. I think that of itself is so powerful, because once you can understand maybe the triggers, or you can understand why someone moves the way they do, I think it becomes so much easier to look at the person as a person when you can understand this is part is the illness, this part is them. When they're trying to just function with through this illness.
Yeah, because one of the things that he did, he'll go on Facebook and he'll, you know, put some crazy stuff on there, which is we don't never pay it no attention. And then people's getting all upset. And I told him, I said, did y'all forget he got an illness? Because he's making it seem like he was happy in what he did. I said, no, that's just his way of dealing with it. I said, you got to understand him and understand the situation. That's just the way that he's dealing with it. Because at one time, he thought it should have been him that was dead. Because I mean, that's what I say. They just on the outside looking in, and my daughter had to go on there and said, look, y'all gonna get off my mama.
Because one, if you haven't ever dealt with it, I mean, your opinion is only that, it's an opinion. But I just think people in this situation, they don't, it's unfortunate because they're not understanding the trauma he's going through also. Like
Yeah, because when
he
it
lives
in
with that guilt, and then
yeah.
when you add in the illness part already on top of it, that's got to be so hard for him to navigate.
Yeah, because I remember when it first happened, everybody was talking about, ooh, you got two brothers fighting. How did she raise them? You know, so I had to go on TV and tell them the situation, what had happened. And I'm glad I did that, because they was actually really going to try and throw him away. But see, but when I went on there and spoke about it and said how he was supposed to have been picked up and was not picked up, see, that put a monkey wrench. That put a monkey wrench in it.
Oh my goodness. First off, I just love talking to you. I feel like I could sit here and talk to you all day, honestly, because your outlook and your strength and your faith is just like, I know people say, like, I don't want to have to be strong. I don't want to have to go through these things, but it's so encouraging to see someone who's gone through so much tragedy. And we're just talking in that short amount of time. We're not even talking about any other tragedies or, trauma you face in your life, and how you've been able to just turn this around to help other people. And so, I know you're working on your doctorate. I know your ultimate goal is opening this center. So, where are you kind of at with all that? Are you involved locally in any other things? Or I know probably.
Yeah, I'm working on yes, I'm working on to start, getting clients with my functional nutrition, but I haven't launched it yet. I got a Facebook group that I'm trying to build up right now, and I was writing on a book. I had co-authored a book, but I'm working on writing my own book.
I love that. So is it gonna be around your story, or is it gonna kind of be more around what you have figured out through, the gut health and the holistic approach?
Yeah, it's all intertwined.
I love that.
But
Oh
for
my God.
me, because see, for me, you can't have one piece without the other.
Right.
Because see, in order for me to be well-rounded and, to have a mindset that I do, I have to take care of myself. I have to eat right. I have to exercise. I have to do these things if I'm gonna be able to do all this. I got to take care of my mindset. I got to look at, how is it that I'm talking? What is it that I'm listening to? Everything is connected and all things matter.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I could go on a whole tangent along that with you. And I think people miss that, whether you're
Yeah.
grieving, whether you're struggling in your marriage, you're struggling with your kids, you have to look at your environment. My husband and I just had this conversation. He said, I've cut out a lot of music I used to listen to because what it was feeding my mind was not
Yeah.
positive in how I grew up. And so I hope people can hear through this podcast. Like, I preach about self-care a lot, and I tell people a 5-minute shower is not self-care. That's a necessity. I'm talking genuine self-care, and I love that you're focusing on what are you listening to? What are you taking in every day? What's in your environment? What are you putting in your body? Like, I think that in of itself is so powerful in the healing journey. Whether you're healing through grief or you're just healing through the everyday traumas that people go through and that everyone's facing today.
Yeah. I remember one time I had my son meditating, and he actually was doing a lot better. But the key thing is, see, when you find something that works, you have to keep it up. It has to become a lifestyle. So it's going to have to be a life change. So, I mean, that's just how it is. If you want to stay healthy, if you want to stay on that journey, you're going to have to keep up with what is required for that journey.
And that's where I think too it's important of having that support system, being able to find those people, and when you can't find it, creating it yourself. I know for me, one of the reasons I
Yeah.
created my community was because I would tell my husband, I just don't feel like there is enough support for women. There's not a place where women can come and celebrate other women and support them. And I was like, I'm gonna create this space myself. And it sounds like that's kind of what you're doing in your area.
Yeah.
Have you been able to find or create any like grief support groups of any of that while you've been through this process?
Where I'm at, the mindsets are so shattered. I mean, it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot of education. I'm still working on it. I mean, the mindset here is just, it's horrible. It's horrible.
I think that
It's
is
going to take a lot.
a lot.
It's going to take a lot.
Well, I'm sure even outside of just the community, I mean, I know some of things that are happening in Mississippi in general. And we're talking about even the law catching up. I mean, the laws and the things in place to actually help anyone, let alone anyone that is dealing with a mental illness. And so I can't imagine that battle and the different, just the different systems and how they just continue to fail people. And I think that is one of the most frustrating things is knowing that there is help, but yet we're not doing and putting the right
It's
things in place
not
for
enough
them.
just to say that the help is out there, but you have to be receiving of the help.
Yeah. I think, and I have some friends and different people who, just different mental illnesses. I know as a mother, some of my friends have struggled with that part too, who their children don't think they need the help. And then that is a whole other internal battle of just spiritually being able to say, okay, God, like this is in your hands, and knowing that the outcome can really kind of go any which direction, unfortunately, sometimes.
Yeah, what I have found is that a lot of times people are not going to realize where they really are until they get into a situation.
Yeah.
And then sometimes that's not even enough. It's going to take them exhausting trying to get the help they need and not getting it
I
before
feel
they
like,
truly realize and understand,
yeah.
where they're at.
I love too how when you mentioned, because I felt this when you said, you felt like you had already been like kind of preparing, like God was preparing you. And I think, I know not everyone who listens to my podcast is spiritual, but working to get solid in your faith now and hearing you talk about that, because it's like, I think that happened to me with some incidents where when I can look back now that God had really prepared me to mentally be able to be there for other people. And I think that is a huge part of self-care that people forget about. There's actually seven pillars of self-care and people don't realize that. It's not just like bubble baths. There's mental, there's emotional, there's spiritual, there's physical, there's financial. There's so many different layers of self-care. And I think one thing people fail to think about until the situation happens, like you're talking about, is that spiritual aspect of where are you rooted every single day? So when things do happen, because the reality is things are going to happen, maybe not to the level, of what you've experienced or what other people have experienced, but everyone's trauma is trauma, no matter what level. And I just love that you are talking about how being so rooted in your faith, and whether that's meditation for those of you listening, whether that's God, whether that's whatever it is for you, I think that's such a powerful thing to take away from this episode is getting rooted in what you in your beliefs now, so
But
that
see, this is
when
what I always like to tell people. It doesn't matter whether you believe in God or not. Whatever it is that you believing in, and it doesn't help you in every aspect of your life, then
yeah.
you might need to start looking at something else.
Yes. And you know what? I think that is true, even just in general. Look at your relationships. One of my first books I wrote about was like truly discovering like your inner self. And I tell people like you need to do a relationship inventory. You need to do a friendship inventory every single year, because as you grow, as you heal, as you go through life, everyone can't go through that with you. And so whether that's your faith or people around you or whatever.
Do a detox. Do a detox. You got toxic friends.
Yeah.
I mean, all these negative thoughts, you got to deal with that. Because if you don't deal with it, it's going to deal with you. A
Yes.
lot of times they like to ignore this or ignore that, but it's going to show up somewhere. It's going to show up in your behavior somewhere, and it might come out in a bad way.
Yeah. And a lot of times, what people don't realize is those unhealed things, you really start kind of essentially cutting other people who didn't do
And
anything.
also, yes. And then also, too, you're breaking down your body, too. You're
Yes.
breaking down your body. Negative thoughts, you're breaking down your body. With the thoughts that you think is very important. Like I said, everything's connected, all things matter. It will affect your health over time.
Wow. Oh my goodness. I love talking to you. I just like, I seriously could sit here all day and talk to you because I think you and I are so connected. I am so glad that that email came through and that I was able to connect with you. And so, where can
Yeah,
people
we
find
can
you?
get anywhere sometime.
Yeah. Where can people find you? I know you said you're just starting your group and stuff, but
Yeah,
I
you can
know
go.
people are going to want to connect with you. I know
Just
it.
email me at victorybeyondlimits@gmail.com, or you could go to my Facebook group, Guardians of Health.
Perfect. And I'll also get all that information from you so we can link it in the show notes too. And so I've loved
Okay,
talking with
I
you
started the
today.
blog too. I'll send that to you too because I have started the
Oh, perfect. Yeah, I know people are going. I already know that there are people when I post this episode that are going to be messaging me like, I love her. I need to be in her space. And I'm like, me
blog
too. Me too. Don't
too.
worry. I want to be in her space too.
And I'll send you my calendar link soon.
Perfect. Oh, good. Well, is there anything else that before we get off here that you just want to share with the audience? Whether it's about what you went through, whether it's about just self-care, any final words that you want to part on us?
Well, it's for me, to me, it's really not what you go through. It's really about how you deal with it in that moment. It's going to determine how long you stay there. And that is so pivotal. Now, that is gold right there. Because I
Yes.
mean, just like if I had just got caught up in my emotions, where would my kids be at right now?
Right.
And where would I be at? I wouldn't be where I am right now. I wouldn't even be able to help y'all. But see,
Right.
it's what you tell yourself in that moment. And it's sometimes it's okay to take a pause for the cause, but don't stay there. Give yourself time to do that, but give yourself an expiration date too to move forward.
I love that so much. I'm so glad you came on this podcast. I hopefully will be able to bring you back on again, especially as you continue on your journey and your holistic journey. And I think women are gonna think they're gonna be blessed by this podcast. And I'm so grateful that you took time out of your day today to come on here. And for all of you guys who are listening, make sure you connect with Sheila. Make sure that you stay in her space, and I hope you guys are just as blessed as I was. So, just a reminder that in case no one has told you today, you guys are beautiful and you guys are loved. And empowered voices, as you see with Sheila, truly does make a difference. So, make sure you guys are having your voices heard.